بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، نحمده ونصلی علی رسول الکریم، اما بعد، الحمدللہ، tonight is the 11th of April in the year 2024, and الحمدللہ we moved on to the 69th night that we're going through the illustrious and blessed life of the noble companion, Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu. And I'm on the section in which I'm mentioning some very informative reports in which his name is mentioned during the Khalifat of Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu. And the last thing I mentioned was that he was the one who put into the heart of Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu that he should ask for the beloved granddaughter of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hand in marriage, Sayyidina Kulthum bint Ali radiyallahu anhuma. And like I mentioned, he did this to take Aisha out of her predicament with regards to her sister, who was also called Kulthum. And the marriage took place, and Umar radiyallahu anhu, like I mentioned, he gave 40,000 dirhams in dowry, and he was blessed with two children from this noble lady, thus becoming the father of the great grandchildren of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But to add a few details about this, Hafiz ibn Jawzi rahmatullah alayh, in his Shaheed al-Mihrab, page 204, Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu, feigning ignorance, he asked, "O Amir al-Mu'mineen, why don't you get married?" Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu responded, "Perhaps that indeed will be during the next few days." Sayyidina Amr radiyallahu anhu asked, "Who do you have in mind, O Amir al-Mu'mineen?" Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu said, "Kulthum bint Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu." Sayyidina Amr thereupon responded, "What do you want with a young woman who is mourning her father day and night?" Sayyidina Umar then gave a stern look to Amr and said, "Did Aisha tell you to say this?" radiyallahu anhu. Sayyidina Amr responded, "Yes." Thus he left her, and Sayyidina Talha ibn Ubaidullah married radiyallahu anhu. So this is a slightly different report. So this work, Shaheed al-Mihrab, was written by Hafiz ibn Jawzi in honor of Sayyidina Umar, because he was martyred, or he was struck in the Mihrab. So the book is entitled The Shaheed of the al-Mihrab. And in this report, Amr was feigning, obviously, ignorance, knowing full well he wanted Aisha to get out of the predicament of giving her sister to Umar. But when he said, "What do you want with a young woman who is mourning her father day and night?" meaning she's lost her father, she's young. Then he realized that this was maybe Aisha telling, "Did Aisha tell you to say this?" And he said, "Yes." So he left her. And then the report says, "Who was the next man who married, or who was the fortunate man who married Abu Bakr's daughter, Talha, one of the 10 Promised Paradise?" And also not forgetting, they were both from the same tribe, Abu Bakr and Umar, Abu Bakr and Talha, radiyallahu anhuma, they were both from Banu Taym. And what's interesting, they were called the two who were tied. They were once tortured by, believe it or not, Khadija's brother. Umul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Khadija's brother, he was known as the Lion of the Quraysh. And he was the one who tied Abu Bakr and Talha up. And then the Prophet made a dua, and in the report it mentions that he was killed in the Battle of Badr. And lo and behold, the one who took him was Ali. So what's strange about that? Ali's wife was Fatima. Fatima, her maternal uncle, was this man. So Ali, it shows he was not bothered. If anybody was hurting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger, the deen, there was nothing to it. He would take matters into his own hands, and he killed the maternal uncle of his wife. So no, Talha married Kulthum bint Abu Bakr. It was an honor for him, obviously, and of course her. Another report adding details. Abu Ja'far Muhammad al-Bakr, a descendant of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rahmatullah alayhi, he relates, When Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu proposed to Sayyidina Ali for his daughter, Sayyidina Umm Kulthum's hand in marriage, Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu anhu said, I am reserving my daughters for the sons of my brother Ja'far. So this was the intention of Ali. Ja'far had been martyred. Of course, he felt it was his now duty to look after the sons, his nephews. So he thought, I'll give my daughters, when they get old enough, to Ja'far's sons. So he told Umar radiallahu anhu, I'm reserving my daughters for Ja'far's sons. Sayyidina Umar pleaded, radiallahu anhu, please marry her to me. For I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no man on earth will ensure she is honored as I will. Meaning, I will honor her. Nobody, I believe, could honor her more than I. Sayyidina Ali agreed and gave his daughter in marriage to Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu then went to the Muhajireen radiallahu ta'ala anhum and said, aren't you going to congratulate me on my new marriage? So they all congratulated him. And they then asked, who did you marry, Amir al-Mu'mineen? Radiallahu anhu. He replied, the daughter of Ali ibn Abu Talib, radiallahu anhu. Indeed, Rasulullah has said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every connection and relation shall be severed on the day of resurrection, except my connections and my relations. I thus have been honored to be the father-in-law of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and now I wish this as well, I to become his grandson-in-law. Ata Khurasani added, Umar radiallahu anhu gave her a dowry of 40,000 dirhams to honor her. So let's look at this. So this is recorded in Hakim in his Mustadrak 3-142, states Sahih to the criteria of Bukhari and Muslim, Tabarani in his Awsat, Tabarani in his Kabir, Sa'id ibn Mansur, Ibn Rahway, Ibn Sa'ad in his Tabakat, Al-Isaba volume 4 page 492, Ganzal Umal volume 7 page 98. Al-Haytami in Majma' al-Zawaid 9-173 stated, the chain is authentic except for Hassan ibn Sahl, who is reliable, although some classified him as weak. Hayat al-Sahaba volume 2 page 428-9 of the New English Translation, and Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi authenticated it in Sahih al-Jami number 4564. So in terms of authenticity, this is a Sahih hadith. Some say Hassan, and some have mentioned there's a slight weakness, but overall, majority of the ulama said it's authentic. So looking at some of the bullet points in this report, look how simple the marriage was. He went, he said, are you going to congratulate me? Now think about that. This is the head of the Islamic world. Now, is that even, you know, feasible for us to think that the head of a state has got married and nobody knows about it? So look how simple the affair was compared to the razzmatazz of today's day and age. So he goes, are you going to congratulate me? So they congratulated him. Then they goes, who have you married? And then he goes, I've married Ali's daughter, Umm Kulthum, the granddaughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He gave the reason. He goes, because Rasulullah said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every connection and relation shall be severed on the day of judgment, except my connections, my relations. Meaning on the day of judgment, this is one of the khasa'is of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His relations won't be broken. The Quran goes, the son will flee from the father, etc., etc. This doesn't apply to the Prophet's family sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he goes, this is why I wanted to get married. Second reason, I was honored to be his father-in-law. Now I wish to be his grandson-in-law. Allah Ta'ala has answered this. And then he gave a dawah of 40,000 dirhams. Why? Because he promised Ali, nobody will honor her more than I. And that was part of the honor. But sadly, as would be expected, after the blessed marriage, the uninformed Muslims began to natter, stating that Amir al-Mu'mineen, radiyallahu anhu, had married such a young woman. So what was the age gap? Sayyida Umm Kulthum bint Ali was around 15 to 16 years of age, radiyallahu anhu. And Umar was in his mid-50s. So there was roughly a 40-year gap. The Amir al-Mu'mineen, noticing the gossip surrounding his marriage, he called the people. He climbed the pulpit. He clarified. Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu anhu, he said, Umar radiallahu anhu once stated on the pulpit when he married Umm Kulthum bint Ali radiallahu anhu, do not speak ill of me in this matter. Because I have heard Rasulullah say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the day of judgment, every means will be cut off and every lineage except mine. SubhanAllah. This is in Tabarani. Al-Haythami in Majma Az-Zawaid stated Sahih. So note that Umar said, don't speak ill of me, meaning you're speaking ignorantly. Doesn't matter what the age gap is. He goes, the father, my father-in-law was happy. He happily gave me his daughter. And he goes, why would you not be eager to marry the family of the Prophet when you've got this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So SubhanAllah, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu thus became both the father-in-law and now grandson-in-law of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, together with becoming the son-in-law of Ali and Fatima radiallahu anhu, and brother-in-law of the two leaders of the youths of paradise, Hassan and Hussein. So in that one stroke, he got all this. Obviously, he deserves it. So from our perspective, the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we say, MashaAllah, another great honor for Sayyidina Umar. But from the devious perspective, this was a troubling fact. So they start trying to get around it, first by denying this marriage, which is foolish because it's even in their works. Then they start coming out with myths, because really it wasn't this woman who he married. It was a jinn that took the place of that woman. So he married a shaitan, and they come out with these, you know, elaborate, you know, fantasy stories. The question is posed, then what happened to Kulthum? Because she went into the heavens. Where is she? She's still there. What's happening? So again, all these just to attack, you know, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. And of course, it destroys the myth of Umar, a'udhu billah, assaulting Fatima, kicking her and this, that, and the other, which they also, why would Ali then give Fatima's daughter in marriage to him? So this is also divinely approved. Why? To put to bed all these lies against the great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the bottom line is, who actually arranged that marriage? It was Amr ibn al-As. He was the one who put that spark into Sayyidina Umar's heart, radiyallahu. So let's look at another incident with regards to Umar and Amr, radiyallahu. And it's entitled, The Miraculous Incident with the River Nile. The following is another infamous incident which occurred in Egypt during the glorious reign of Umar ibn al-Khattab. So this is recorded in Ibn Asakir, Ibn Abd al-Hakam in his Futuh Misr, Abu al-Shaykh in his Azama, Kanz al-Umal, volume 4, page 380, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 5, page 540, to one of the New English translations, Al-Laliqai in his As-Sunnah, and Ibn Kathir's Tafsir, volume 3, page 464 of the English translation, related similar. Qais ibn al-Hajjaj, he relates from his teacher, Rahmatullah alayh, when Egypt fell to the Muslims, its people came to Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As, radiyallahu, when the first day of Bu'na arrived, and they said to him, O Amir, this Nile of ours has a year in which it does not flow without it. So stop in the report. So Egypt has fallen, 21st year after the Hijrah, halfway through Umar's Khalifat, radiyallahu. It's the first day of Bu'na. What's this? This is a month in the Egyptian calendar. So this was their calendar. They're still using their calendar. And they said, O Amir, this river of ours, the Nile, there's a year in which it does not flow without giving it something. So Amr ibn al-As, he looked and he said, and what and why is that? They explained, after 12 days have elapsed of this month, we seek a young virgin from her parents. We always obtain the consent of their parents. We then dress her in the best possible clothing and ornaments. Then we throw her into the Nile as a sacrifice so that the river will flow. So it was a human sacrifice. This was their traditions. Because if we don't do it, the river Nile, it starts lowering. We need this for our, you know, livelihood. And it goes, we always do it after 12 days of this month has elapsed. This is the first day. We're giving you 11 days notice, basically. And look how they try to beautify what they were doing. Because we get a young virgin. We always get consent. We don't just take her. We give her beautiful clothing. And then we throw it into the Nile. So Amr ibn al-As, he was shocked at this jahiliya practice. Now think about that. He's lived through Jahiliyyah. To shock them is not like me and you. Even he's shocked. And then he said, this is never going to happen in Islam. Islam always demolishes what comes out of ignorance before it. That was a great line, the scholars say. Islam always demolishes what comes of ignorance before it. So they goes, fine. We came to you, Amir. They were dejected, they left. Lo and behold, it happened that the Nile did not flow. And although the people stayed in Egypt all through the month of Bu'na, Ahib and Masla, until they eventually decided to migrate from Egypt upon the fourth month. So what happened? Abana goes, no, never going to happen. So what happened? When they didn't sacrifice, the river Nile went down. So the people stayed for another month. They thought, okay, give it time. Maybe something will happen. Still nothing. Third, fourth month, they goes, right, we're leaving. When Sayyidina Amr radiallahu anhu saw this, he was now at a loss as to what to do. Thus he wrote to Amir al-Mu'mineen radiallahu anhu. When the letter was received, Sayyidina Umar wrote a letter back to him. And when Amr had the letter, it read, O Amr radiallahu anhu, you were correct in what you said. For Islam truly demolishes the ignorance that comes before it. So he praised him for that statement, because he was correct in saying that. He then sent a slip of paper inside his letter, and he wrote to Amr, I have sent you a slip of paper inside my letter. Throw it into the Nile. So when Umar radiallahu anhu's letter reached Amr radiallahu anhu, he took the slip and he opened it. Because he thought, why isn't this slip? The curiosity got the better of him. Because what is this that I'm going to throw into the Nile? So he opened it. And it was written, from the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Umar ibn al-Khattab, the Amir al-Mu'mini, to the river Nile of Egypt. If you now used to flow before, then don't flow. Meaning, if this is Shaitan's handiwork, then obey me, don't obey him. But if it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who made you stop flowing, I now ask the overwhelming one to now make you flow once more. That was what he wrote, which he goes, throw into the river Nile. So first he's talking to the Nile, imagine. Right? And he's saying, if Shaitan is causing this, forget about him, listen to me. And if it's Allah the Almighty, through some wisdom unknown to us, I ask him humbly to make you flow. Amr radiallahu anhu smiled upon reading the slip, meaning thinking he's talking to the Nile. He then threw the slip into the Nile. A day before the day of Salib, their festival, being another festival of theirs. In the meantime, the Egyptians were already preparing to leave the land of Egypt, because it was only with the Nile that their efforts or their affairs could run properly. It was critical for their livelihood, their economy. When they awoke on the day of Salib, much to their surprise, Allah the Exalted had made it flow, and it arose 16 cubits in just one night. Thus Allah the Sublime cut off this evil custom of the people of Egypt right up to this day. So what happened? The Nile was waiting for Umar. That's what he boiled down to. And Amr didn't know what to do. He thought, what's happening? So how did Umar know what's going on? If you think about that, Amr didn't know what was going on. He thought, I've done nothing wrong. I've told him to stop this, Jahiliyyah practice. Why is the river not flowing? So he wrote, and Hazrat Umar knew that something was happening to the Nile, either from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or Shaitan. He covered both bases. And what happened? The river Nile obeyed. And in one night, imagine, 16 cubits stayed up. A cubit is roughly an arm's length. Right? In one night. So 1 minute, it's almost going to the bed. the flower bed, river bed, and next minute it's flowing. Subhanallah, such was Sayyidina Umar radiallahu, one of the majestic muhaddathun of this ummah. So what does muhaddathun mean? Just mention this to finish. Our beloved mother Sayyida Aisha radiallahu, she relates that her unparalleled and exalted husband sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قَدْ قَانَ يَكُونُ فِي الْأُمَمِ مُحَدَّثُونَ فَإِنْ يَقُ فِي أُمَّتِي أَحَدًا فَأُمْرَبْنُ الْخَطَّابِ. Amongst the nations, there used to be muhaddathun. And if there were one in my nation, it would be Umar ibn al-Khattab. This is in Sahih Bukhari, number 3469, Sahih Muslim, number 6204-5, Tirmidhi, number 3693, Hasan Sahih Mishkat. So in this absolutely flawless report in Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said two things. Previous ummats, they were muhaddathun. So it's important to get the wording right. He did not say muhaddith. He said muhaddath. Muhaddathun. And then he goes, if there is one in my ummah, it's Umar. Now think about that. So what is a muhaddath? So the scholars, they mention three views. In Tirmidhi, number 3693, the Tabata'in Sufyan ibn Uyayna, rahmatullah alayh, he said, muhaddathun ya'ni mufahhamun. Muhaddathun means those who were given understanding. There's some sort of divine gift that they've got, that they start seeing and understanding things that others can't see. That's what he said it meant. That's one meaning. Ibn Wahab rahmatullah alayhi said, muhaddathun means mulhamun, inspired. This is in Sahih Muslim, number 6204. So according to another one of the Salaf, it means somebody who's being inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although he's not a prophet. Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani, his view was, muhaddathun means communicated to by the angels. The angels are using him, alayhi salatu wasalam. This is in Fath al-Bari, number 3689 or 7-62. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, if there was one in my ummah, it's Umar. It means somebody who has been given divine understanding. Somebody who's been inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or somebody who the angels are using, alayhi salatu wasalam. And just to add this, our beloved messenger himself clarified, himself, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, when he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَعَلَ الْحَقَّ عَلَىٰ لِسَانِ عُمَرَ وَقَلْبِهِ. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put the truth upon the tongue of Umar and in his heart. Subhanallah. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put the tongue upon, has put the truth upon the tongue of Umar and in his heart. So where's this record? In Abu Dawud, number 2955, Tirmidhi, number 3682, Hasan Sahih Garib, Ahmad in his Musnad, 5-415, Tabalani in his Kabir, Ibn Hibban in his Sahih, number 6895, Hakim in his Mustadrak Sahih, Abu Ya'la, Ibn Abi Shayba in his Al-Musannaf, 12-21, Bazar, Baghwi in his Sharh al-Sunnah, 14-85, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawa'id, 9-66, stated Sahih. Ibn Sa'ad in his Tabaqat, 21-99. Ibn Abi Asim in his As-Sunnah, number 1247-1250. Ibn Al-Athir in his Jami' al-Usul, 9-444, Mishkat. Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi said Sahih. How many Sahaba narrated this hadith? Six. Think about that. So you got Sayyidina Abu Dharr, who relates it from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You got Sayyidina Bilal, who relates it from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You got Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar, who relates it from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You got Sayyidina Abu Huraira, who relates it from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You got Sayyidina Fadl ibn Abbas, who relates it from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you got Sayyidina Muawiyah, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, all related this hadith from Rasulullah. It's mashhur, meaning it's a very famous report. So what did Rasulullah say in this flawless report? And he stressed it. When he's stressing something. Inna Allah, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put the truth upon the tongue of Umar. So who's put the truth on the tongue of Umar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in his heart. What does that mean? He's not a prophet. So the prophet was highlighting he is the muhaddath. Allah ta'ala is inspiring him, either through the angels or directly. So note, this was the maqam of Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu. And notice, here's a classic example. Amr ibn al-As stumped. What's happening? He writes back to Amir al-Mu'mineen. He immediately knows what's going on. First he prays him, you made a correct statement. Then he goes, throw this slip into the Nile. So where has he got this from? Is there a text on this? There's no text. He was inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And why was Amr smiling? Because he knew Allah ta'ala has blessed this man. Not forgetting he was 16 years junior in the age, Sayyidina Umar to Sayyidina Amr radiyallahu. So all I mentioned today was basically explaining a few details with regards to the marriage of the beloved granddaughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Umm Kulthum bint Ali to Umar, and clarifications with regards to this. And then I mentioned another fascinating report where Amr, his name is mentioned, now with regards to the river Nile, and Umar radiallahu anhu doing what he did, inspired by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي حمدي سبحان الله اللهم بحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واذكر الله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الاصل الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات والواصل بالحق والواصل بالصبر صدق الله